read a little bit from Exodus this morning, just a couple verses, but the little backstory to this, children of Israel are in Egypt, and they're enslaved, and they've been enslaved for hundreds of years, and they're tired, they're done, they've almost gotten to the point where they've given up completely. They're just day in, day out, day in, day out, stuck. And the God that they've prayed to, you know, Jehovah Jireh, their provider, for 400 years or whatever, they haven't heard from. They hear they're going to get delivered, but yet it's been how long? I mean, how many generations of people? And then their comforter. Do they feel comforted? Not necessarily. Jehovah Shalom, Lord of peace. Are they in peace? They don't feel it. They don't feel it. And so God shows up to Moses in a burning bush. And in this conversation, there's a part of it that I'm just going to read. It says, but Moses protested, if I go to the people of Israel and tell them the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? Because the names that they know of him, they don't trust in it very well anymore. They've lost it. Last week we talked about, what's that word? The L word. Lamenting. Last week we talked about lamenting. And, yeah, the L word. It's more than four letters. It's okay to say. We talked about lamenting. They were stuck. So God replied to Moses, and he says, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. God has said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations. So I wrote this because I'm not that great at speaking. And let me just read it to you. This is just kind of my processing of that. It says, in my youth, I didn't know that opportunity in God was possible. I heard it, I said it, but I didn't see it believed enough to rely on, so I never relied on it. I didn't put myself in a place where it was needed, with the excuse of God gave me a brain. How many times do we do that? We're like, well, I'm afraid to actually step out, so I'm just gonna, well, God gave me a brain, so I'm gonna go the way I know, right? However, the problem with that belief is my brain wasn't meant to secure me, fulfill me. My brain should not lead me away from God. The day I rely on my brain, I rely on one thread of the cord, and it's the weakest thread at that. Our experiences mold our brain. We create pathways by experience. By making choices with consistent motives, we create pathways that will become muscle memory. Have you ever found yourself in a place where you just don't know what to do? What do? We go through the pathways and motions we normally do in hopes for something different to happen. But what should we do? Go through the motions that we should be doing all along and worship Him alone. Open our hands of whatever it is in them and submit it to the cord. Stop trying to respin our thread that is weak and tearing, and grab on to the only thing that has strength enough to hold. He's not just a provider, not just a comforter, not just peace. He is the I am, the everything, the limitless power and limitless giver of it, Alpha, Omega. So if you are a standalone thread relying on your own strength to hold it together, protecting your thread by avoiding risks, you might be riding scary close to a terrible situation. The enemy thrives on fear. He knows we run to our secure places in fear. In fear, we cower. In fear, we hide. In fear, we hoard. What if we made the enemy afraid to make us afraid? What if we make a decision that no matter the circumstances, we will actually praise the Lord, give more, pray more, that especially the times we fear, we will run to the presence of the Lord, make the enemy afraid to make us afraid. What if every time he reminds us to feel guilty for our past, we remind him of the grace of our God? It's time for opportunities to be approached with the confidence and faith that is he who is doing the work and he who is leading, and quit relying on our own strength, our stamina, our purse strings, our experience, and start truly trusting the I am, the everything. Trusting in our knowledge, experience would not have filled the jars, the wine jars with water at Canaan. We would have never done that, trusting in our own experiences, our own knowledge, our understanding. It wouldn't pick up 5 or 12 stones and decide you're going to throw one at a giant. It wouldn't do that. Not our own strength. Our own strength wouldn't tell the dead to get up and walk. Our own strength wouldn't crawl through the crowd to touch the hem of his garment. Our own strength wouldn't have got the healing. Our own brain would have said, that's dumb. But his strength, his leading, his guiding leads us. And in our own strength that he's given us, which is follow me, and the ability to say, yes, yes, Lord, I follow you, no matter the experience, that's when we receive. That's when we receive. So receive from him this morning. Receive from him.
Right, we're going to dismiss kids for children's church, ages 3 to 5th grade. Have classes available over in the East Wing. So if you could get your kids to class, sign them in, and then remember to sign them out at the end of service. Go pick up your kids. We had 3 left over here last week, and they were very hungry by this morning. Just kidding. We got them home on Thursday. We serve an amazing God. Do you know that? Also, if you have children 0 to 2 years of age and would like the nursery, it's available behind the window titled Bookstore. It does have audio and visual if you want to join in that way as well. And as always, your kids are welcome to sit right here with you. We love families. We love family service. We love family church. We love family ministry. Families are a greater picture of who God is, how we interact with one another. We're starting the third phase. If you remember way back in October, I talked about these 3 phases we were going to be looking at that I felt God was giving us for direction for the year 2022. And I thought I would wrap these up in 3 or 4 weeks in January. But here we are almost to the end of March, and I'm just getting to the third phase. So I don't know how long this phase is going to go. Do you guys remember the phases? Anybody? Trailblazing was the first one. I hope you can remember the last one because it was just last week. And 6 weeks prior to that, life, death to life was the second phase. And now we're moving into go big. Isaiah 54, verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. This is the third phase of where I feel God is calling us to get active, to get moving forward in what he's doing in 2022. So we're going to go over this verse today, chew it up, going to pick it apart. And then over the next few weeks, I lost my paper. I have too many papers. Anyway, we're going to talk about good stuff over the next few weeks. It's going to be fantastic. So I titled this Go Big. I didn't realize I would be in Texas the week prior. So most of last week I was down in Texas on a hunt. It was fantastic. So I just flew back from Texas. And boy, are my arms tired. Some of you will get that later. Some of you are just going to roll your eyes at me. But everything in Texas is bigger. Have you noticed that? Like the rattlesnakes are bigger. That's the one thing I really noticed because I like hate snakes. Like I believe they're of the devil for sure. We're in this place of enlarging or going big, and I put up this drip. These little pebbles dripping or these drops of water dripping. And what happens is the ripple effect after the drip. So if we could relate this beginning of the ripple to a pebble being thrown into a pond or a lake or a large body of flat water. If the pebble going in is our yes to God, we just have to start the effect. And then God takes over after we say yes, after we give him our obedience. So saying yes to God, yes, God, I want that last song we just sang. God, I want to be purified. I want to be more like you. God, I want to have your desires. I want to have your heart. Is that you? Is that your yes? Because if you'll give God that yes, like literally in your heart, your deepest desire, yes, Lord, I want to be more like you. And we'll begin to throw that pebble in the pond, and God takes over, and he keeps the ripple effect going. But we're the initiator of that. We have to say, yes, Lord, it's my heart's desire to be more like you. It's my heart's desire to have your heart for your people. It's my heart's desire to serve you righteously, faithfully, obediently. Yes, Lord. Will you give God your yes? Will you start that ripple effect and throw that pebble in and see where God will take you beyond your yes? It's a good question to ask yourself. Will you start the ripple effect and then let God take over? So the first part of this verse in Isaiah 54 we're going to look at is enlarge the place of your tent. I spent a lot of my life sleeping in tents. As a hunting guide, that's what you do. I used to do it about 200 days a year. So I understand tent life. But the tent is your dwelling. It's your home. It's your house. It's your space. How big is your tent? I've been in some little one-person dome backpacker-style tents, and I've been in some really big 16 by 20 wall tents that you can invite a bunch of friends and have a big wood stove, and it's really comfortable. But how big is your tent? How big is your sphere of influence? Let's call our tent or our covering our sphere of influence. How big is your sphere of influence? Meaning, who is in your life or in your circle that you can impact for the kingdom of glory, for the kingdom of eternity? Some of us, we've brought our tent in. It's like, nope, it's a one-person bivvy. Like, there's room for me, and I have to leave my backpack outside because that's it. And I'm just trying to keep the mosquitoes off. I'm just trying to keep the rain off, and I'm just trying to keep me comfortable. And you crawl in your tent like this. And like, it's me and Jesus, and I'm hoping to get on the rapture bus and make heaven. God doesn't call us to isolate. God calls us to be an active part in his kingdom, in his work, bringing forth his glory, talking about his goodness, talking about his love and mercy, talking about his salvation. So how big is your tent? Hopefully we can look at it today and begin to say, okay, it's not big enough. I used to do a lot of guiding, and my tent was pretty small. I had the crew I worked with. I had the guests that came in and out, which was of a vast area, but it was few people. And there was this point in my life where God said, will you come work for me? I said, well, let me see. Is it going to be more money? No. Is it going to have benefits? Not medical or dental or vision. Is it going to have paid expenses? No, that's going to come out of your own pocket. So I used to have this great job where all that was paid for and taken care of. But then God said, but will you come work for me? So this is my personal story. For some of you, it may look very different. But for me to come and pastor, I had to take about a $30,000 a year pay cut and lose all my benefits and lose all paid expenses for anything I did with work, And instead, I have to pay all that myself now. So for me, it was a big step to enlarge my tent of ministry. It took a lot of faith. It took a lot of, we need to talk about this, God. We need to have a moment of conversation, God. But then I had to look at the big picture. What has God called us to do? To go into all the earth, proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior who came, saved us from our sin. Through him, we can have salvation and eternity. I had to look at, am I influencing that many people where I'm currently at? Yes, some, but can it get bigger? God's calling us to enlarge our sphere of influence. Right now, I'm coaching on a baseball team over at Clearwater Valley. I love to bear and turkey hunt in the spring, which is pretty minimal. But I'm giving up all that time to be with 20 young men and the other coaching staff. Why? So I can build relationship with them and speak into their lives and influence them. And already, like the second week of practice, I'm talking with a young man, and we were having some, what's the word I'm looking for here? I guess some issues. So I had to pull him aside and talk, and I was like, you know, this isn't leading you down the right path. Like, we need to talk about this. He goes, well, I'm a good man. I said, well, what's a good man? He's like, well, you know, I'm going to grow up and be a good man, and that way, you know, I'll go to heaven. I said, well, wait a minute. Like, good men don't go to heaven just for being good. He says, well, what do you mean? I said, well, the Word of God tells us that only by Jesus Christ can we get to heaven. We can be good our whole entire lives and still find our eternal destiny in hell. But we must first ask Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of our life, and then we get to heaven. And then we can still be a good man. But we have to have Jesus Christ. He's the only way to heaven. And of course, he looked at me like, wow, I've never heard that before. And so we'll see where it goes throughout the season or maybe years ahead. I don't know. But if I hadn't taken time to say, yes, I'm going to get in a bigger circle and influence a few more people, I wouldn't have been able to have that conversation with him. So where is your sphere of influence? What is God calling you to? Enlarge it. Whatever it is today, maybe you have four people in your sphere of influence today. Make it six by the end of the month. Make it six by the end of May. Make it a dozen by next year. Make it 24, 36. How big a sphere of influence can you have on the earth around you? We have a team going over to Yakima this week on a mission trip. They're expanding their sphere of influence, and that's what God is calling us to do, to get out of our comfort zone, our nice little bivy tent, to where I'm comfortable, I'm protected, I'm shielded, I'm safe, to get out and enlarge and include more people in what you're already doing. Psalms 91, verses 1 through 16. I was just going to use a piece of this, but it's all so good I couldn't just chop it up. Do you ever get there when you're reading the Word? Like, I was just looking for a verse, but the whole passage is good. Now the whole chapter is good, and now the whole book's good. And for me, that's the toughest thing as a pastor, is like, how do I narrow it down to a 30 or 40 minute message when your Word has so much to say? It's tough. So Psalms 91, we're going to read the whole passage. This talks about our covering or our dwelling and where it should be. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Do you dwell in the shelter of God Almighty? Do you rest in His shadow? I'd say yes sometimes, other times no. I would like to say I always do, but sometimes I go out and rest under my own shadow and rest under my own power and rest under my own arbiness. Like, anybody that's honest will say they do that. But I want to get to the place where I always rest in His dwelling place, in His shadow, in His strength, in His might. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Who do you put your trust in? Is it your bank account? Is it your assets? Is it your friends and family? Is it your job? Is it the government? I know we're in North Idaho, so that's probably not true. But who do you put your trust in? Like, oh no, the economy crashed. Who's your trust in, the economy or Jesus? Jesus. He's carried some people through some pretty bad situations, and they've came out the other side. Put your trust in the Lord Almighty and make Him your refuge and your fortress. Surely He will say to you, from the fowler's save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. Have you ever seen a wild bird with their little chicks? And they wrap their wings around them and they puff up and whoa, you want some of this, huh? Like, especially the ruffed grouse in the mountains, they're like mama grouse is like, oh, you got to come through me if you want my chicks. You don't want none of this. I just picture God doing that for us, if we will. Because those chicks have the opportunity to scatter and fly and go crazy. But they know where their protection is. Sometimes when life gets hard for us, instead of running to Jesus and going, okay, just put your wings out, I'm here, we take off like a crazy banshee. We're like, I'm going to do my own thing. I got this, Jesus. Right? And then we find ourselves in a mess. And we're like, God, why'd you do this to me? And God's standing there holding the rest of His clutch going, I didn't do that. You ran from me. Like, I've got you a safe place to return to. But we must go to the proper dwelling place, the shelter of the Lord God Almighty. Because He's there and He's willing. He already proved it. He will sacrifice it all for our benefit. Matter of fact, He's already done it. We just have to remember when things get tough, where do we turn? Where is our refuge? Where is our fortress? In whom will I trust? Kathleen and I really had to sit down to see if I wanted to be a pastor or not. And she was like, I'm sure you don't. I'm positive you don't. She looked at the finances, looked at the benefits or not benefits, said, nope, you for sure don't. One of the toughest decisions of my life. Because at that point, she was not on board with it. It was not okay. But I knew beyond a shadow of doubt what God was calling me to. It was probably one of the toughest years of our marriage. So going out and going big doesn't always mean it's going to be easy. But I had to cling to God like never before and trust, God, I know what you called me to do. And it looks like everything is blowing up in my life right now. But God, I trust you with my future. And you've called me to it, and I'm giving you my yes. I'm throwing my pebble in the pond, God. And I'm going to see the ripples you make out of my life. And it looked like a tsunami was coming in the physical, in the natural. And all hell was being unleashed against us. But God, here's my yes. Giving God your yes isn't easy. It's not always. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's fun, but not always. It's scary as all get out. But you've really got to look at your life and consider, God, what have you called me to do? Like, if I guided the rest of my life and killed every animal on the planet and sent people home happy with meat in the freezer and mounts on the walls and pictures they could show to their friends, that would be cool. But it's not getting many people to heaven. I had to look, what's bigger, eternal value or monetary value? I said, God, what we really should be about is getting people to heaven. So how can I expand my sphere of influence to get more people to heaven? Well, it might cost a little bit on this earth. But you know, if I leave this earth with nothing, and enter into heaven with thousands of other people, it'll all be worth it, that they may receive eternal life through Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And not that I didn't talk to my guests about Jesus or my coworkers about Jesus and tell them how amazing he is, but God's calling us to something greater. Influence, impact more people for eternity. That's what he's calling us to. I forgot where I'm even at. I'm right there. Verse 5. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalk in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. Do you see the repeating theme here? The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my fortress. I trust in the Lord Almighty. It's a repeating theme throughout this whole psalm. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. Do you love God? Do you acknowledge his name? Yes, yes. Well, what does he say? I will protect him. I will rescue him. God is faithful. God is true. He says, if I love him and I acknowledge him, he will protect me and rescue me. Don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. God's got you according to his word. And either he's true or he's a liar. He's true. So he says he's got you. Know that God has you. No matter what's going on in your life, whatever it looks like, God has you. He will call on me and I will answer him. This is one thing I love about our God. We call on him and he answers us. All the other gods of the earth are false. People call and there's no answer. They call and there's no answer, yet they still serve them. We call and our God answers because he is alive and well today. He's the one true living God. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. God is so good. Make God your covering, your dwelling place. As you spread out, sometimes in our earthly thinking, we think, well, spreading out means I need more possessions. I need more land. I need more cars. I need more. What do you need more of? Shoes, ladies? Yes, I know how you are about shoes. Some of you guys are that same way. More hunting rifles, shotguns, bird dogs. But no, that's not what I mean when I say expand or spread out your tent. But like, God, what are you calling me to in your kingdom? And for each of us, that's going to look a little different. We all operate, which is amazing, because we need to be influencing all parts of society, not just the church, because that's just one of seven mountains of society. We don't have time to get into all those today. But we need to be influencing all of society. Wouldn't it be great if all the politicians in Washington served the Lord God Almighty, and they were leading and directing our country according to his will and his glory? Listening to the Holy Spirit from whom their instruction would come from? Wouldn't that be amazing? Well, we need to raise up some young men and women that are willing to go into politics and serve Jesus doing it. But we've got to get plugged into every venue of society, influencing it for the kingdom of God. God, where would you send me? Some of you might go to Africa. Some of you might go to South America. Some of you might go where? Begin pouring in. This is why I love being involved in the schools and with kids, because I get to influence the next generation for the glory of God. I get to build relationships with, have conversations with that I otherwise wouldn't have. I'd just be some weird guy that shows up to their games. I'm like, why is he talking to me? Creeper. But no, when you show up and you love on kids, you get involved in their lives, all you have to do is love on them. Find their name and say, hey, George, good game. Hey, Bob, good game. Hey, great three-pointer tonight. Hey, great home run tonight. Hey. And they take notice if you notice them. And don't be creepy about it. Just like, I found you on Facebook. Okay, don't be weird. You're supposed to be showing them the love of Jesus. Don't be weird. We're supposed to love God and love people. Those are our two greatest commands, love God and love people. That's what he's called us to do. And when we're expanding our tent or our place of influence or our covering, we should be doing those two things and focusing on those two things as we enlarge, as we expand, as we grow. So who's influencing you? Whose influence do you sit under? Who do you allow to speak into your life? Whose covering do you operate under? Because you should also have a covering that is over you, that is influencing you, that is hopefully calling you up, not putting you down. You should be around people that sharpen you, that strengthen you, that cause you to grow and develop, that challenge you, that challenge what you're saying, challenge what you're thinking, that make you think, am I doing this the best way possible? No, I can do better. I can be a better parent, so I need to be around people that cause me to be a better parent. I can be a better husband, so I need to be around people that cause me to be a better husband. I can be a better pastor, so I need to be around people that cause me to be a better pastor. I can be a better community member. I need to be around people that cause me to be a better community member. I'm influencing and bringing up those below me, and I'm reaching and grabbing to be pulled up by those over me. It's a twofold, and it should keep and continue. I think there's some biblical passages about that. The older training, developing the young, bringing them along. And that can be numerically or spiritually. It's not always just age and a number. But spiritually, be drawing people up. That's why I love seeing all these kids up here in worship. That's awesome. Come on, guys. You got gifts, talents, and abilities. Use them for the kingdom of God. Use them for his glory. Use them to lead people into worship of the Lord God Almighty, to love and adore him. I love it. Second line of that passage, Isaiah 54:2. Stretch your tent curtains wide. These are the walls of your tent. Stretch them wide. Part of those walls are we need good boundaries. You know, we need to get out and influence people, but we also need good, clear-cut boundaries. What would those boundaries be or those boundaries look like? First of all, we're going to look at this passage in 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? So as we're influencing, and like I go lots of places that I get criticized for, to witness to people, to minister to people. And I'm rubbing shoulders with, but I'm not yoking with. There's a difference there. We are to rub shoulders with and influence, be a light in the darkness. Well, how else can we be the light unless we go into the darkness? We're to take the light, the gospel, the truth of Jesus Christ and his word to those who don't have it, darkness, those who have not yet found righteousness. It's very simple. We were all once in darkness until we met Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And he pushed out the darkness and brought his light, his salvation. But we have to go into the darkness to be the light. But as we do that, we don't yoke with those who are unbelieving, who are unrighteous. We're very careful in ministry here at the Life Center of who we yoke with or who we couple with in projects or ministry or any events, or like, are we promoting Christ and his gospel and truth? If that's not the main thing, we don't want to couple with it. There's lots of good things going on in our valley that we could spend our time and energy on doing good things. But we feel our call is to be doing God things. Like, we want to be influencing and promoting the kingdom of God for his glory, for his purposes. So we need to have good boundaries in our lives. When we're going and coupling with those people, or rather rubbing shoulders with them, we have to have boundaries. Like, these are things I can do, these are things I can't do, and we find those from Scripture. We get into the Word of God. This is the best place of influence you'll ever have, the Word of God. Be influenced by it, know it, regurgitate it. So some good boundaries we can have. We can look at the Ten Commandments to give us a real good original list. Don't steal, don't kill, don't lie, don't cheat. Don't have sex with people you're not married to. Honor your father and mother. You know, the Ten Commandments, that's a real good place to find your ten boundaries. An even simpler list is, am I loving God? Am I loving people in what I'm doing? So our walls, our tent curtains give us boundaries, and we need to operate within those. Because our number one goal is to reflect positively of who God is, to make him known as great, to give him honor and glory in all that we do. Another part of expanding our curtains wide is to make space for others. Leviticus 19, verse 34. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Make space for those around us. Do you make space in your life for other people? It's not always easy. It's not always fun. But it is always worth it so that you can show them the love of Christ. Make space in your life for other people. It's not always easy. In order for me to go coach baseball, I give up every evening of the week, or at least a few hours of the evening. It costs me something. Cost my family something. Cost my kids something. Except for one of my kids is on the team, so I get to see them. But it's going to cost you to get involved in people's lives. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? God, what are you calling me to? Get back to the drawing board. God, what are you calling me to? Is this something you want me to engage in or not? And I have to ask, I'm invited all the time to different things, to committees and boards and programs and functions and jobs, and I have to go back to the drawing board. God, what are you calling me to? What do you want me to do? And if it's God asking, I have to get out another pebble. I have to throw my yes into the pond and see what he'll do with it. Because there's lots of pebbles God's going to ask you to throw time and time again, over and over again. One way we make space for others is through hospitality. Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. We're supposed to practice hospitality. Do you do that? Do you invite people in? Do you include others? Do you invite people to journey with you? Do you invite yourself to journey with others? Say, hey, can I come alongside of you and just help you? Just encourage you, just coach you. Just be your cheerleader. Stretch out your tent curtains. Some of us, we like to bring those tent curtains in and isolate. And we use them as walls, as guards. We get offended, we get hurt. We've been abused, we've been neglected. We've been misused, mistreated, spoken against, slandered against. Whatever, whatever. What pains and hurts do you have? And usually when that happens, we often put up our tent curtains and we draw them in close as protective shields instead of stretching them out and letting others in. Then we begin to bottle all that stuff up inside of us, all that hurt and pain, trauma, resentment, anger, bitterness. And then we're just a ticking time bomb. And we're not doing anything for the kingdom of God and His glory. We're not doing what He's called us to do. But He asked us to enlarge our tent curtains, to stretch out our tent curtains, to let more people in. He needs somebody that can speak into your life, that can speak truth to your situation, to bring healing and restoration through the power of Jesus Christ. You need people that will speak truth to you even when it hurts. Say, Arby, you shouldn't be doing that. Arby, that's wrong. You need to go apologize. You need to say, I'm sorry. You need to make this right. Arby, that was incredibly stupid. How could you say that? How could you do that? You need people in your life that will speak that to you. And if you stretch out your walls and invite those people in, I have people in my life. I have many people in my life that I personally tell them, you have a green light to speak into my life. If you see me in error doing something wrong or not right, or if I'm saying something not seen clearly, I want you to speak to me and tell me I'm wrong. I want you to bring correction and discipline into my life. I want to be sharpened. I want to be strengthened. I want to be encouraged. If I'm in error, I want to know. And sometimes I mess up with a Bible verse. I say the wrong number or name or that's not those kind of things. But if there's sin in my life that I'm unaware of, I want to know it. I want to be in right standing with God, and I want my friends to speak into me. I want to be vulnerable to that point. To my friends say, hey, buddy, this is not for you. And that's part of expanding our tent curtains. The next line in there is, don't hold back. I think we'll close with this one today. Do not hold back. Sometimes we're timid and we hold back. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe, no. I'm not going to talk to him. I'm not going to say anything. Do you ever get timid in your actions, in your words? Yeah, I think we all do. We could all say yes at one point or another. But we serve a really big God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. You know, don't say, well, God, just help us. But get specific. God, help us lead this valley to your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior. God, give us influence in this valley that we would influence every mountain of society for your kingdom, for your glory. God, that we would be known as a valley that serves you, that seeks you wholeheartedly. Not just our church body, but all the churches across the valley, all the people across the valley. Start praying big prayers, saying, God, would you bless us with supernatural finance? God, that we could influence the global church, that we could be a part of your kingdom outside of this valley, outside of this state, outside of this country. And we've been praying prayers like that for decades, and now we're being able to influence all over the world through missions. But God has been challenging me to pray bigger prayers, to ask for bigger things, Ask for things that only God can meet and make happen. Don't ask for something that, okay, if I work really hard, I can make this happen. But ask for that which causes God to have to move supernaturally for the provision to be given. God says, I'm big, I'm here. Have confidence in your asking. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Don't conform to the patterns of this world. Sometimes we get in the pattern of this world and thinking of what we need and what are my needs and what are my wants and wishes, and we forget about God's plan and God's will for our lives and what God wants for us. But God, renew my mind. Help me think differently. Help me see things differently. This ranch we were just down on in Texas, it's the largest ranch in North America, and the man that started it was an impoverished, indentured servant to a jeweler and ended up joining in the army, becoming a captain, and began taking over pieces of Texas until eventually he had this great ranch. And he eventually ended up finding the underground river systems and tapped into them with windmill power to pump them, to bring water to the surface, to begin making crops, to begin making pastures, and eventually begin crossbreeding cows until he came up with his own brand of cow. And then eventually started crossbreeding horses until he came up with the quarter horse. Why? Because he dreamed big. He thought big. What's possible? This man, Richard King, started out as an impoverished, indentured servant, and then became the owner of the largest ranch in North America. Why? Because he had a dream and a vision. Then they began building infrastructure and schools and towns and churches and hospitals. God can give us more than we can think or imagine. Think impossible. What's impossible in your life? What's impossible in our valley? What's impossible in our community? When we bought this property, people told us it was impossible. You'll never get that. Not a chance. When we built this building, people said it was impossible. Not going to happen. Never a chance. And time again, our human mind said impossible. Not going to happen. But our prayers to God were bigger than that. And we need to continue pushing forward. Dream big dreams. Ask big questions. Pray big prayers. Our God is more than enough. He is more than able. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Do you know that power is at work within you? God can do more than you can think or imagine. Don't stop small. Think big. Think big. God can do more than you can think or imagine. I think about my life and walking with God and where I started and where I am today is way more than I could think or imagine. Way more. But I've had to continually give him my yes. Grab my pebble, throw it in the pond. Will you ask? Will you enlarge? Will you expand? Will you grow? Think big, don't hold back. Ask God, and we'll pick up here next week with lengthening our cords, strengthening our stakes, and then into the rest of the message. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, that you call us. God, to be part of your kingdom. God, that you invite us into relationship with you. God, that you invite us to be ministers of your gospel of peace. And God, I ask that you would show each and every one of us, God, where we need to grow, where we need to expand, where we need to develop. God, where we need to increase in that which you've set before us. God, give us your plans, give us your thoughts, give us your will. God, that we would seek you, that we would trust you, that we would obey you at every turn. And God, we just thank you. God, that you are more than enough. God, that you are more than able. Father, we worship you, we praise you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to invite the prayer team up. If you have any prayer needs today, if you would like to respond to the message and say, I want to expand and grow, come forward, get prayer today, meet with someone in agreeance, be encouraged, be strengthened in Jesus' name. God bless you guys. Have a fantastic week. We'll see you next time.
To my soul, I am not alone. I am not alone. You will go before.